Heavenly Father, we thank and praise your name. We give you the glory for another opportunity in the house of the Lord. And as we approach your word this morning, I pray and I ask, Lord, that our Holy Spirit will take control. Amen? And speak to us, Lord, from the mind of God concerning what you would have us know. And let your name be glorified. Father, we ask that, as always, the entrance of your word will bring light into our lives, light into our minds, illuminate our minds, that we may, you know, receive the mind of Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, this morning, I want to speak on God's purpose and counsel shall stand. Amen. God's purpose and counsel for your life shall stand. Now, that means no matter what the enemy does, no matter what he tries to do, that means the enemy cannot alter what God has in store for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, first of all, I'm going to give you a few scriptures, and you know, listen to these scriptures, and then, of course, then I'm going to bring this message, tell you a couple of stories from the Bible, and then we're going to see what the Lord has to say for us. Again, God's purpose and counsel for your life shall stand. Amen. I'm going to start here in Isaiah chapter 14. And I want to show what the Lord himself says about his counsel and his purpose. Now, this is the Lord speaking to us directly from Isaiah chapter 14, and I'm going to start at verse 24. Here's what the Lord has to say. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have proposed, so shall it stand. Amen. So whatever God proposes, it is going to stand. Whatever God thinks shall be done. Hallelujah. Now, what we need to do is we need to align ourselves with God's thinking. Amen? We need to align ourselves with God's purpose. Because what God has proposed for your life shall come to pass. Amen. Now, here's something that the Lord is going to do. I'm going to break. He said that I will break the Assyrian in my land. That's the oppressor. That represents the devil. That represents the evil one. You know, I'm going to break him in my land. And upon my mountains, I will tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And his burden shall be taken off of all your shoulders. That's what the Lord is going to do. This is the purpose that is proposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who shall disannul it? Who is great enough to stand against the power of the living God? Yeah, I don't know of any in this world or in the world to come or anywhere else, because the Lord is almighty. Amen. And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? You know, so that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. And I believe as the Lord, as we get deeper into the message, the Lord will reveal the message. There's going to be something that the Lord's going to say to somebody in here this morning that's going to get you back on track. Amen. Amen, folks. Now, listen to this. In Isaiah chapter 46. First, I will read the scriptures. Then I'm going to reveal this message as the Lord will have us. Isaiah chapter 46. And I'm reading from verse 9. Here's what the Lord has to say again concerning the same subject. Listen to this. Isaiah 46 and verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. You know, now, there are times when God will say, look, I want you to remember the great things that I've done. Sometimes he challenges them for the great things that he has. Sometimes he'll tell them, look, I'm going to do even new things. I'm going to do even greater things. Now, he's calling them to remembrance of the things that he's already done. So don't forget, you know, the Lord has done these great things for you. You know, here's what he says. He said, I am the Lord that declares the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. Say, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. The counsel of the Lord. He said it himself. He said, look, I declare the end from the beginning. God has already declared your end from the beginning. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're gonna hear about that, you know, in a few minutes. You know, what the Lord has proposed for the church. We're going to hear about it, and then we're going to hear about what God has proposed for you as an individual. Amen? Amen? So the Lord says, even, look, the Lord even takes sometimes the enemy. And you're going to see that in one of the stories that we're going to tell today. God takes the enemy like a ravenous beast that he calls from the east. You know, sometimes he'll use, you know, the hand of the devil himself to bring about the purpose of God. Hello, folks. You may not understand that yet, but you will as we go into this message. You know, and God will cause, God can use anything to execute his counsel. God can use anything to bring to pass his purpose. And he will do it, you know, if it is what he has spoken, that is what he will do. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now listen to this, in Psalms 33 and verse 11. Psalms 33 and verse 11. He says, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generation. That's the counsel of the Lord will stand forever. The very thoughts of his heart will stand to all generations. Praise ye the Lord. Now listen to this. In Proverbs, just giving you a few verses, you know, before we bring the real part of this message. But this will lay the foundation. In Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 21. Listen to this. There are many devices of a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Amen. Amen. You know, so you can plan this and people can plan that, and the enemy can plan that or plan this against you, and people can plan this or say that against you, but all of that is, you know, it's just sundry things that happen. But it is the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. And it's the counsel and the purpose of the Lord concerning you that shall stand. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, in case you're saying, well, you know, but, you know, this, you know, happens and that happens and so forth. You know, we want to raise your understanding to a spiritual level. You know, that God knows what he's doing. Amen. The Lord knows what he's doing. You know, when I was a young man, I used to play this game called chess. How many of you know what chess is? Anybody play chess here? Chess? Well, you know, it's a thinking man's game. And I used to play championship chess. I loved it because you have to always outthink your opponent. You know, but great chess players, you know, you can make a move, you know, when you make a move, here's the way it's played. You make a move, then your opponent looks and they make a move. And then you make a move and then they make a move and so forth like that. But the great chess players, here's what they do. They can make a move, many moves ahead of their opponent. When they can think, they can look at the field. And they can make a move, so many moves ahead of their opponent. And there's one move that they make where their opponent cannot make any move. And that's called checkmate. You know, and once you do that, game over, you know. Now, but let me tell you the difference between the devil and the Lord. You know, the devil has to wait for God to make a move before he can make any move. When God makes a move, then the devil tries to counterfeit it or spoil it. You know, when God gives you a dream, then the devil comes and tries to steal the dream, kill your dream, destroy God's counsel and purpose in your life. That's what the things he tries to do, you know. But first, you know, he can't do anything because the devil does not have any originality. Amen? How many of you know that? He doesn't have any originality. He only tries to counterfeit something that God puts in place or tries to mess up something that God is trying to do and so forth. But here's the difference between the Lord. The Lord already knows every move that the devil is ever going to make. Hallelujah! So God can make one move. And it's checkmate. It's done. It's over. Hallelujah. When God says, this is what I propose in your life, he makes that move. He knows the end from the beginning. He can look at all the thousand of moves that the devil is going to make, and he can make one move. And that's it. And the devil can't do nothing about it. Give the Lord a hand clap for that if you understand it. Praise the name of the Lord. The Lord, he is so far ahead of the devil. He's so far advanced, you know, that the devil can't even, you know, he can't even come close to the Lord. But the Lord allows the enemy, he's like a ravenous beast from the east that he uses to bring, the Lord masterminds the things that the devil tries to do and so forth like that. You know, so, you know, and then, you know, some people say, well, you know, well, you know, why is it then that this and this happens and so forth? Look, there is nothing that can happen except the Lord allows it. Are you still with me, folks? In the book of Lamentation, chapter 3 and verse 37, the Bible says, who is it that saith, and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? There is nothing that will happen on this earth, you know, especially to the elect of God, unless the Lord allows it. Amen? Praise God. And I want to say too, look, there is no great thing that's going to happen on this earth except by the Lord. Amen? There is no great thing. I don't care whether the person that achieves greatness gives the glory to God or not. There is no greatness that will happen on the face of this earth except by the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord killeth and he maketh alive. The Lord bringeth down and he raiseth up again. It's the Lord that doeth all these things. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, some people say, well, you know, but then, you know, the things of God, you know, the promise of God and so forth are delayed in my life. And I don't see it. It's not happening. You know, why then all these things happen to me and so forth like that? Listen to the word of the Lord in Ezekiel chapter 12 unto you. The Lord said, look, you know, enough of all that saying that the word of the Lord is not going to come to pass. He said, look, even in your days, I will not only declare it, but I will also bring it to pass. Amen? It's not going to pass you over. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, folks. That's right. You know, there are some things that some of us old timers have been waiting for. You know, and the Lord, he's not going to pass us over. Amen? Praise ye the name of the Lord. Even in our generation. Hallelujah. Now listen to this, Ezekiel. Some people may understand that. Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse 25. For I am the Lord, and I will speak. And the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. And it shall no more be prolonged. Even in your days. And he throws in a little rebuke. Even in your days, oh rebellious house. Let's not be rebellious like those people. Amen. Even in your days, oh ye saints of the Lord, will I say the word, and I will perform it, saith the Lord God. And listen to verse 28. Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged anymore, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. Hallelujah. God is able, not only able to speak it, but also to perform it. Amen? Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, there are many devices that people devise, as we've already read. But the Lord is the one that's going to, it's only the counsel of the Lord that is going to stand. I want to bring out something else again from this same Psalms 33 that we already read. I know I read Psalms 33 verse 11. But I want to bring out something from the previous verse and show you something here. Psalms 33 and verse 10. Let me start at verse 9. For the Lord spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. You know, do you know that? How many of you know that until this day, everything that the Lord said way back that you recorded in the book of Genesis has stood fast until today? He said, Lord, let there be light. And there was light. You know, let this happen, and it happens. Let the earth bring forth abundantly, and it does. You know, let it be, and it is. Amen. Till this day, the word that he spoke stands fast. And the Lord, he said, verse 10, this is the part I want to bring out. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. Hallelujah. That's right. You know that? How many of you know that? That's true. The Lord brings the counsel of the enemy to nothing. Amen. And he makes the devices of the people that are against you to be of none effect. Amen. There's another way that he says it in Isaiah chapter 44. You know, he says it a different way. But the same thing, Isaiah 44, listen to this in verse 24. Isaiah 44 and verse 24. You know, the Lord, you know, he brings these things out in many different angles so that we may have confidence that the Lord is with us. Amen. Isaiah 44 and verse 24. You know, you might even start at verse 23. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth, and break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, every tree therein, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, hallelujah, and that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself, that frustrated the tokens of the liars. Amen. And make diviners to be mad. You know, that's what the Lord does. He frustrates all the counsel of the wicked and all the things that they are planning and scheming concerning you. You're going to find out in some stories that we'll tell you here in a minute. And turneth wise men backward and maketh their knowledge to be foolish. The Lord does all these things because of the elect of God, to protect his purpose and his counsel in your life. Amen? Now, I tell you something too. You know, God doesn't just wake up one day and, you know, decide what he's going to do with you. You know, he doesn't do that at all. He told Jeremiah, before you were formed in the womb, I already knew you. And I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. Hallelujah, somebody. You know, God doesn't just, you know, think, you know, oh, one day, oh yeah, this is what I'm going to do. No, he already knows, known unto the Lord, are all his works from the beginning. You know, he's already known exactly what he's going to do, and he's already laid it out. Now, let me lay out something here for you concerning the church. And then I'm going to drill it down for the individual. You know, there is something that God has already laid out for the church. Even before the world began. And I'm going to give you some scriptures here to help you understand what God has ordained for the church. Hallelujah. Praise God. And Jesus said it himself. You know. He said, look. Upon this rock, the revelation of who Jesus is. In Matthew chapter 16. He begins to talk to Peter about it. In verse 18. I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, it doesn't mean the gates of hell will not try. No. He didn't say the gates of hell shall not try. No. The gates of hell shall not prevail. You know, because the church is going somewhere. Amen? There is a place where the church is going. I'm going to tell you where the church is going this morning. And I'm also going to tell you some things by revelation where you are going as an individual. Amen? Now, turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 8. And let's start from verse 28 of Romans chapter 8. Now this is probably a text that a lot of people know. But let's see what the Lord will have to say about it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Amen? Folks, are you with me this morning? How can all things work together for good? Even sometimes terrible things. We're going to find out in a couple of stories here this morning. All things work together for good to them that love God. Now, not for everybody, but for them that love God. Amen. But not just because they love God, you know, because, you know, nobody can really love God, you know, except first you receive the love of God. Amen. But look at the secret of these people that for whom everything works well, you know, they love God to them who are the called. They are a special people. They are the called ones, according, you know, to his purpose. Hallelujah. You have been called according to God's purpose. God's purpose, that's right. And God is protecting that purpose. Hallelujah. Listen to it. For whom he did foreknow. See, he already had foreknowledge. He already knew everything, declaring the end from the beginning. For those whom he foreknew, he also did predestinate. And what kind of predestination? To be conformed to the image of his son. This is where the church is going. God has already predetermined that the church will be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. The church will come into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God has determined that from the beginning. And it doesn't matter what happens, doesn't matter whether it takes thousands of years, the church is coming into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. Hallelujah. That's right. Moreover, you know, he said, look, he did all of these things so that Christ might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate. See, remember, first he foreknew them. See, then he predestinated them that they will become just like the Christ. And those whom he did predestinate, them he also called. So he began to call them. Come on in. You know. And those whom he called, them he also justified. In the name of the Lord, they're justified. He said, who is he that shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again. See, so he began to justify those that he called, and those who he justified, them he also glorified. Hallelujah. He that overcometh shall sit with me in my throne. Even as I overcame, and I am set with my Father in his throne. Hallelujah. That is where we are headed, folks. We are headed into the glory of the Christ. Jesus prayed himself. He said, my Father, I pray that where I am, let them also come so that they may see my glory like I had with you from the beginning. Hallelujah. That's where the church is headed, folks. Amen. Yeah. Amen, folks. Some of you may not understand that because, you know, I'm speaking spiritual things. And not exactly material things, you know, and so forth. But I'm speaking spiritual things right now. And I'm speaking to the spiritual. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I'm going to say some other things too, you know, that, you know, everybody will understand in a minute. You know. But let's talk a little more about this purpose of God. He had this purpose. He designed it, you know, in everything before the world ever began. Finished. You know, and then he begins to unveil it. You know, so the devil, who came along, you know, later, cannot foil his plans. Amen? There's just no way he can do it. Now listen to this in the book of Ephesians. Come with me to Ephesians chapter 1. And see for yourself how that God already prepared this purpose. You know, the things that God has for the elect of God, he's already prepared them, signed, sealed it, delivered it even before the world began. Praise the name of the Lord. Listen to this. Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 3, I'm sorry. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he has chosen us. Now listen to this, folks. God has already chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Hello, folks. This God has already chosen us in himself before the world began, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's where we are headed, folks. Having predestinated us, hallelujah, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his own will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Listen to this. Verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had proposed in himself. You know, all these things happened way before the world began. Before he even laid the foundation of the world, he proposed all these things in himself. And here's the sum of it all. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, hallelujah, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Even before there was anything made, he already determined that he will make all these things, and at the end, he will gather everything together in Christ. Hallelujah, folks. And Jesus said, all the Father has given me, I will lose none of them. I will lose none of them. But I will raise them up at the last day. Hallelujah, somebody. Jesus will lose none of them. Amen. He has predestinated us, you know, to this adoption of sonship. And God has determined that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. How many times is He going to say it? Being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. What is this predestination? That we should be to the praise of His glory. God has already predestined that your life will be to His praise. Hallelujah! There is nothing the devil can do about it. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Your life is predestined by God to be to the praise of His glory. You say, well, it doesn't look like it right now. My life is so far from... That's what you think. But God is working. Hallelujah. God is working. You know, He knows what He's doing. Amen. I tell you something too, folks. Life is like an obstacle course. It's like a steeplechase race. You know, when I was a kid, I used to do track and field. You know, but I didn't like any of those steeplechase races. I like the sprints, you know, and so forth. You know, but, you know, the steeplechase and this obstacle course, they take endurance. You know, you jump through some hoops, you paddle through some water, you know, you stumble over something else, you get up and you keep going. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Life is not a sprint. Oh no. Life is a race. It's a journey. You know, sometimes, you know, it's ups and downs and so forth like that. But we are going somewhere, folks. Amen. Amen, folks. We are going somewhere. Look, I tell you what. You know, there is a ship that is headed for a destination. And you have been invited to come on that ship. Now, folks, if you get on that ship, hello, folks, there's only one way to get on that ship, folks. That's through the blood of Jesus Christ. But if you receive that invitation, and you get on that ship, as long as you stay on that ship, you are going to get to that destination. Hallelujah! Because the captain of that ship is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And there is no tempest, there is no storm along the way that can capsize that ship, as long as the Lord is on the helm. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. But you must stay in the ship. And you must follow the rules. When the captain announces, don't go out on the deck when it is high tide. If you don't listen, if you go out on the deck when it's high tide, you might be liable to fall over. If you fall over, you're not getting to that destiny. You must follow the rules. Hallelujah. The rules are called the statutes. And they are all listed in this word right here. Hallelujah. This is what's going to get you there. But you must follow. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, as God is walking, the enemy is also walking. His job in John chapter 10, verse 10, his job is to steal your dreams, kill your hopes, destroy the counsel of God in your life, but he cannot do it. Hallelujah, somebody. Now, he may be able to destroy some things which are man-made, some things which you cooked up for yourself outside of God's will. The devil might be able to destroy those, but he can never, in a million years, destroy the purpose of God in your life. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says, my purpose shall stand, and I will fulfill my counsel concerning your life. Hallelujah. The devil can't do it. You know, he'll try. He will try, but he cannot do it. He cannot accomplish it. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, let me go ahead right now and tell you two stories in the Bible. You know, I'll tell you the lesser one first. You know, and then the greater of the stories. Not lesser or greater in terms of, you know, whatever they accomplish, but in terms of the length that it will take me to tell the stories. That's what I mean. The first story that I will tell is the story of Moses. His will be a little shorter than the second story. Moses was a man that was destined to be a deliverer. Hello, folks. God ordained that he was going to be a deliverer. Now, you're going to have to read the story. I don't have time to read the story. You're going to have to read the first few chapters of the book of Exodus. Especially chapters 2 and 3. You know, but it so happened, you know, after Joseph and all of these things and so forth, and Joseph is the second one that I'm going to tell. His own story will be a little longer, you know, but I'm telling Moses first. But anyway, you know, when they began to multiply in the land of Israel, Egypt, the Pharaoh, the new Pharaoh and so forth, who didn't know Joseph and all that, he said, look, these people are beginning to multiply. They're going to be greater than us. And, you know, if there's a war from any of our enemies, they might join with them. So let's begin to do some things. So they begin to maltreat them, you know, turn them around to be slaves, do all kinds of things. And Pharaoh even came up with an idea. He said, okay, here's what we're going to do. To make sure that these people do not continue to multiply, you know, he made an edict. He told all the midwives, now, all you midwives, you know, when you see the children of Israel, their women, when they give birth, if they give birth to a male child, kill the child right away. Because we don't want that nation to become great. Hello, folks. Kill the child. Well, but if it's a daughter, save her alive. Well, of course, the midwives, we are told, they fear the Lord, so they didn't do it. Amen? Yeah. Amen, folks? Yeah. God will always raise up instruments to preserve his purpose. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Well, of course, the Lord rewarded the midwives. So Pharaoh, he saw that that didn't happen. He said, well, why didn't you do that? I said, well, the women, they were quick, you know, before we even got there and so forth. I said, okay, well, that's fine. You know, well, here's what I'm going to do. All the children that have been born, that are males, I want every one of them to be cast into the Nile River. You know, throw them there so that they will all perish. Because, you know, I don't want any of those males to grow up and become something, you know. So the enemy, that's what he thought to do. Well, Moses was born in that era. Amen? Amen, folks?
Amen.
Moses was born in that era. And his mother looked at him, well, say, she looked like a goodly child. So she tried to hide him for 3 months. And after she couldn't hide him anymore, well, she kind of almost did what they were told to do, cast him in the river, but she did a little thing, you know, created a little ark, put him in there, just didn't throw him in the river, and put him on the river and set a little sister to be there and watch it and so forth. So, well, you know, the devil wanted to kill everybody, including Moses. But Moses was destined for greatness. Amen?
Amen?
Moses was destined to be a deliverer. And you're not going to kill the purpose of God. Try what you may. It's not going to happen.
Yes.
You know? So, look at the story. And even after they did all of that and so forth, so finally, so one day, you know, they say, well, put him in the little ark and go. And his sister Miriam is watching and so on. You know? So, you know, finally, you know, Pharaoh's sister and all, come into the place to take her back, and she sees the thing, fetch that out for me. And she fetches and she sees it. Wow. You know, because of the wrapping and the wrapping cloth they have, she knew it's one of the children of the Hebrews. And said, well, you know, what's he doing here? So the sister jumps out of the place where she's hiding. Say, oh, you know, yeah. You know, shall I get you one of the Hebrew women, since it's a Hebrew child, you know. You know, the child cannot suck, you know, your royal breasts. You know, let me get you one of the Hebrew women to feed the child. He said, all right, that's cool. And she went and fetched the mother. Amen. Praise the Lord. And Pharaoh's sister, began to pay Moses' mother to nurse Moses. Hallelujah. That's right. God protecting his interests.
Amen.
You cannot kill the purpose of God. So anyway, that story goes on for a long time and so forth. So Moses' mother actually nurses him, tells him a few things. You know, he learns a lot of things and so forth like that. And finally, you know, she had to give him up, you know, to the house of Pharaoh. Because the woman claimed him and so forth when he was grown. But in the meantime, Moses had learned a few things about where his roots and so forth like that. So, Moses began to see the suffering of the people and he didn't like it. So one day, he went out, he saw the Egyptian, some of the Egyptians, tormenting one of the Hebrew guys, and beating him up and so forth, because they used to maltreat those Hebrew, you know, treat them like slaves, and they were slaves actually. Tell all kinds of things to them and so on. So Moses stepped in there, you know, and tried to take, you know, the law into his hands, so to speak. You know, he tried to help the purpose of God, so to speak. You know, and then got in there and so forth. Why are you doing this injustice to, you know, and so forth. So he killed the Egyptian. He looked around, you know, let the Israelite guy go free. And he looked around and saw there was nobody looking. Buried the Egyptian. Went about his way. The next day he comes around. He sees two Israelites fighting. Two Jews fighting themselves. And he says to them, hey, you know, why are you smiting your brother? Why are you doing this? You know, and so forth. You know, and so on. And then the other guy says, hey, who made you a judge over us? Do you want to kill me like you killed the Egyptian yesterday? He said, oh. So all of a sudden, Moses said, wow, the word is out. So he began to be afraid. And then when Pharaoh found out about it, Pharaoh wanted to kill him. So he fled for his life. So he fled, went to the backside of the desert, and so on and so on. And the story went. But all of that, all that was happening and so forth, the enemy tried to kill him from birth, tried to throw him, I mean, even though he tried to get rid of him through denial, through slaying, through whatever, it couldn't happen. You know, God protected his life. And even though he put his hand where he shouldn't have been, he made some mistakes on his own, he still, even he himself, could not avert the purpose of God. Finally, all of that was driving him towards an encounter with the pillar of fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, somebody. All that was happening was moving him closer to an encounter with the flame and the burning bush that was burning without the flame, without the bush being consumed. He was headed for an encounter with destiny. Hallelujah. Finally, in the plains of Mamre one day, you know, he saw that bush burning. He said, I would turn aside and see this bush burning. My lands, this bush is burning, but it's not consumed. What is this? So he turned aside, and because God saw that, he turned aside. Folks, when God tries to get your attention, perhaps by one miracle or something in your life, you must turn to the Lord with all your heart. And that's when God will really reveal himself to you. Amen? So finally, he turns to the Lord, and then the Lord revealed himself and sent him on his mission. And he went and did some tremendous work in Egypt with signs and wonders that the Lord wrought by his hand and brought out the children of Israel by a mighty hand. How many of you can say praise the Lord? Everything that the enemy tried to destroy his life before he achieved that purpose of God in his life, the enemy could not do it. And he fulfilled the purpose of God. Hallelujah! Now I got to cut that short and go to this story. This is the story I want to tell you today. Now this story, there are many chapters in the Bible devoted to it. Starting from Genesis chapter 37, the story of Joseph. Then you skip chapter 38, which is something else. Then you go from 39, clear on through 45. Tells you the story of Joseph and this story that I'm about to tell you right now. Now Joseph, many of you may know that he was one of the 12 sons of Jacob. Second to the last. You know, of course, the first of the sons of Rachel. You know, which Rachel bore to Jacob. And Joseph was loved so much more by his father because of, you know, being Rachel was his sweetheart and so forth. And you may know the story of how Laban tricked him into marrying Leah and then all of that, you know, and so forth. Finally, Rachel. And so he really loved, and it came at an older part of his age. So he really loved this Joseph. So he bought him a rainbow coat. How many of you know the story? You all know the story? So he bought him a rainbow coat and so forth. So he loved him. You know, and listen to this. Not only did Joseph, not only did Jacob love Joseph extra, the favor of God was also upon Joseph. Amen? Praise God. And that rainbow coat reminds me of some rainbow anointing that will be and is now coming upon the elect of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So anyway, the father bought him this rainbow coat. So Joseph, he used to have these dreams. Now listen to this story. There's something that Lord wants me to bring out of this story. Joseph used to have some dreams, you know, And he dreamed some dreams of greatness in his life. That's how you can summarize it. Whether it was somebody bowing to him or whatever it is, or some of the things that his, you know, brothers were doing were, you know, less in value and submitting to his own. The bottom line was, he dreamed of greatness in his life. Are you still with me? He dreamed that he was going to be great. He dreamed that even his siblings, you know, everybody around him was going to bow down to him. You know, well, so, of course, you know, being, you know, naive, you know, he just, you know, opened his mouth, began to tell his siblings all his dreams and so forth, you know. And that was his first mistake, you know, because it made the people to hate him even the more, you know. Now, and so, you know, every time he told them these dreams, they hated him even more. I mean, what are you talking about? You mean all of us will bow down to you? And so they hated him even more, you know. But, you know, he said, well, that's what I dreamt, you know. I just dreamt it, you know. So I told it the way I dreamt it, you know. So anyway, even his father, you know, paid attention to those things, said, what kind of thing is this? But he put it in his heart. So one day, you know, his older brothers and so forth were in the field. Now listen to this. You know, this went beyond just sibling rivalry. Folks, this was the enemy trying to destroy God's purpose. Amen? It was way beyond, you know, sibling rivalry. Well, way beyond that, you know. But sometimes, you know, it teach you also too, you know, don't share your dreams with people that don't believe what you believe. Amen? Keep your mouth shut. Hallelujah. But confess your dreams to God. Amen? Confess your dreams to God, and God will bring them to pass. Amen? But don't bother to sharing them with negative people, because they will only try to kill your dreams. Amen?
Amen?
So anyway, his father sent him to go and watch, you know, check out his older brother. So when they see him coming, they say, aha, here comes this dreamer of dreams. Then begin to plot. Let us kill him. And we shall see what will become of his dreams. You know, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy your dreams. Are you still with me, folks? You know, so they plotted, but God delivered him even out of that plot. You know, well, you know, one of his brothers, Reuben, he said, well, you know, well, let's not do that and so forth. Let's put him over here in the pit, you know, and so on. Because he had a mind to come back later on and take him out of the pit and restore him to his father. But he didn't get a chance. When he wasn't there, the rest of the brothers, they saw, you know, a slave trade caravan coming. And they said, well, you know, and they were talking about it and so forth. Said, yeah, you know, why just leave him in the pit, you know, and so forth. Let's even make some money off of him anyway. You know, sell him into this, you know, make some money. So they sell him for 20 pieces of silver or whatever, you know, they make some money off of him. And then Reuben comes back, he can't find him there, say, he laments, you know, and so forth. So anyway, they plot this scheme, they kill a goat, they soak his rainbow colored coat in it, take it to his father, tell his father that he has been killed and so forth. You know, so they plot, they sell him into slavery. Now notice, folks, they tried to kill him, God delivered him out of that. They put him in the pit, well, they got him out of the pit, they sold him into slavery. And all of these things, you know, they're designed to kill his dreams. They, we will see what will become of your dreams then. And the whole time that all of this plotting and all this scheming and all this evil was happening, it was moving Joseph closer to his destiny. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, Joseph could hardly have become a monarch in his family. Because they didn't even have the kingdom of Israel then. They didn't have anything, you know. So, I mean, where was he going to be a king and everybody bowing down to him and all these things? It could hardly have happened if he remained where he was. Hello, folks, are you still with me? God had to do some things to bring him to where he needed to go. And the word of the Lord was trying him the whole time, we're told in the book of Psalms. So anyway, while he was in the pit, I'm sure the devil, you know, jumped on his shoulder, told him some things and so forth, mocked him, laughed at him and so forth. When they sold him, I mean, he was a young man. Can you imagine a 17-year-old or whatever, you know, just sold into slavery, farther and farther and farther away from him. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know where they were taking him, you know, and he lost absolute, complete, you know, track of his family and so forth. And they took him into a foreign land, you know, but every step of the way, because the favor of God was upon him. the counsel of God and the purpose of God, you know, in his life was being protected by the favor of God. Amen. Even in the slave caravan, you know, he had faith. Because when they got to Egypt, the captain of the guard, who is like, you know, army chief of staff or whatever, he checks out this caravan, you know, all of a sudden, you know, he picks out the choicest person that he likes. And all of a sudden, it's Joseph he likes. Amen. Amen, folks. The favor of God is going with him the whole time. You know. Now, so this man said, oh yeah, I want that one. How much you want for him? So he sold him to him. Okay, all right, fine. And as soon as he gets to his house, he gives him something to do. The man does it. Everything changes. My goodness. I mean, things, you know, Joseph began to put things, you know, everything that was disorderly and chaotic in that house, Joseph set everything in order. His business, the man's business began to move and so forth. Said, wow. There's something upon this young man. There is something upon it. So he promotes him, and makes him above everything. Everything. Say, all my servants, everything. And so you are in charge. Everybody. And so forth like that. You know, the only thing he doesn't give him, of course, doesn't give him his wife. You know, so, okay. And Joseph didn't care about that. You know, he's doing his job. The whole time, you know, Joseph, there's something I'm going to bring out here in the next part of this story. Joseph, the whole time that all of this is happening to him, the enemy is telling him, you see, you know the devil, I'll tell you something too about the devil. You know, the Lord showed this to me when I was thinking about this weekend. The devil, I already knew this, but he showed me something. The devil is a devil, I mean, he's a double crosser, if you know what I mean. I mean, he will do everything to, you know, kill, to deal, destroy everything, and he will still come and accuse you on top of it. How many of you know that? He's also an accuser of the brethren. Right. So this whole time, he will still come and accuse Joseph and say, you see, you should have kept your mouth shut. Or probably the pride of your heart. See, you are too proud. That's why you are here. You know, but, you know, Jesus one time, he said, look, you know, I can't do anything but for the truth. Amen. Yeah. I am from above. Yes. You are from beneath. Yes. Totally just the way it is. Yes. Doesn't make him proud. That's just the way it is. Ah. Praise you the name of the Lord. Ah. If you say, look, I am a child of God. Yes. And I'm a son of the King. Ah. I don't belong to this world. Yes. God has destined me for greatness. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Because I am going somewhere. With Christ. That doesn't make you proud. That's just telling it the way it is. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. So anyway, one day, the wife of Potiphar, the chief of staff, eyes this Joseph. She's been looking at him, saying, this man is, you know, he's handsome and he's getting things done and so forth. So, you know, the spirit, the seductive spirit, this woman was a seductress, you know. So that devilish spirit jumped on her. And she tried to seduce Joseph. Some of you may know the story. And she sneaks up to him in the house, you know, and so forth. You know, and say, Joseph, you know, you want some of this? And Joseph said, no. Leave me alone. You know, he goes again. You know, comes back next day. Joseph, you know, you sure you don't want some of this? You know, and all that stuff. They say, no. You know, he keeps going. Every day, you know. So one day, Joseph goes into the house to do his business like he always does. There's nobody else around. Joseph didn't know that. He was just about his business. This woman comes up to him, grabs him and says, look, today is the day. You got to do this. You know, you got to lie with me and so forth. And Joseph, he struggles. And while he's struggling, he said, look, I cannot do this. Look, my master, your husband, you know, he has elevated me in this house. You know, he kept nothing back from me except you because you are his wife. Why then should I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Yes. Amen, folks. Amen. Joseph was still loyal to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody will say, well, there's nobody around anyway. Nobody's going to know. You know, what is done in Vegas stays in Vegas. Or whatever. You know. No. Joseph said, I will not sin against the Lord. Hallelujah. I will not do this great wickedness and sin against the Lord. He stood by his ground. Yes. He stood by the truth. Yes. And he said, I will not do this. Hallelujah. And so he ran. So while he was struggling, you know, his coat fell off and he ran out of the house. And the devil came back and said, aha, you got him right now where you want him. You got his coat now. So, you know, why don't you frame him, you know, and so forth. So she schemed this thing, framed him, tell the man when he comes back home, her husband, look, this Hebrew boy that you brought in here, he has come to mock me. He tried to come in and do this to me. And so, look at him with his coat here. And the man was furious. Didn't even give Joseph a chance to explain himself. Bound him, sent him into the dungeon and so forth, where they put, you know, all of Pharaoh's prisoners in there. Hello, folks. Hello, folks. God already promoted Joseph even while he was a slave in Potiphar's house to the top. But that's as far as he could get. You know, he could not get any further until this thing happened to him. Hello, folks. Are you still with me? God needed to position him somewhere else. And God allowed this whole thing to happen. Of course, Joseph stayed faithful the whole time. That's the key, folks. He stayed faithful. So when God allowed this to happen to him and they threw him in dungeon, you know, it so happened around the same time also. And as soon as he got into the dungeon, when he got to the dungeon, the keeper of the dungeon, somehow, there's something about this Joseph. You know, immediately they put him in charge of everything. They said, look, you're going to be in charge. Whatever they do here, you are the one that doer of it. Whatever you say goes, and so forth. So Joseph is like the boss man in the prison. If anything he says goes. So one day, you know, Pharaoh's, up to this time, Pharaoh doesn't know Joseph. Joseph doesn't know Pharaoh. He just knows him as Pharaoh. They don't know each other and so forth. All he is in the house of Potiphar and so forth, who's the chief of army staff. You know, but he has never been in Pharaoh's audience. He doesn't know anything about Pharaoh. Pharaoh didn't know him either, you know. But someday, you know, someday Pharaoh's butler and Pharaoh's baker, they piss him off, you know. So he sends them into the dungeon where Joseph is. Amen. Hallelujah, folks. And God the whole time working the purpose of God and the counsel of God in the life of Joseph. Now, Joseph is not thinking about, oh, I'm going to still be a king. My brothers are going to, you know. He said the word, he believed it, and he went on about his business. Amen? Amen. The word of God will sustain itself. Hallelujah. And as the rest of the story goes, you may know it. For sake of time, I'll cut it short. Anyway, this same gift of God that was in him, this gift of dreams that he had from when he was a child, we don't even know, you know, how deep Joseph was in the Lord before he had this gift. This gift was there. Of course, his father, you know, Jacob and so forth, they were all a generation of believers in God. So they taught their children about the Lord and so forth. But this same gift began to work for him. So one day he's there, and these two, the butler and the baker, they have a dream one night. You know, and they are sad. And Joseph comes in and says, why are your countenance look so sad today? They say, well, we dreamt a dream. We don't know what it means. So the butler tells his dream. He said, well, you know, this and such and such and such, this is what it is. Joseph said, well, here's the interpretation of thereof. In 3 days, Pharaoh is going to lift up your head, but he's going to restore you to your former position. Amen? In 3 days. So that's the interpretation. Oh, the other man said, oh, that dream was good. Let me tell my own too. Blah, 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 blah. I saw this and so forth. Joseph said, well, sorry. Your own dream is also 3 days, but Pharaoh will lift up your head. But that means he's going to hang you in 3 days. So, and the thing happened exactly. But Joseph tells this man, he said, look, the other man, the butler, when you are restored, please remember me, say a kind word, you know, to Pharaoh on my behalf, because I'm here for nothing that I've done. Even from my father's house, bad things have been happening to me. I didn't do anything. And even this one that I'm here, I didn't do anything. Speak a good word for me, because the man did not remember him. How many of you know that? He did not remember him at all. But one day, hallelujah, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. God allowed Pharaoh himself to dream a dream. God didn't have to show Pharaoh what he was going to do. But that the purpose of God that he had proposed concerning Joseph, and that the counsel of God that he had concerned, that purpose concerning Joseph might stand, God allowed Pharaoh to dream a dream. And God allowed, you know, this butler who had been restored to hear a Pharaoh's dream. And he said, oh my goodness. There's a fault with me as of this day. There's a young man that I met in prison. He can tell all dreams. He told my dream and the other baker. And exactly how he said is what he was. My eye was restored, the other one was killed. This man will tell you the interpretation. Pharaoh said, okay, call the man. Hallelujah! Hallelujah, somebody! From dungeon straight to the throne. Hallelujah. Joseph, he comes, he says, oh, you can't go before Pharaoh. Like, you got to be shaved. You got to be this. So they clean him up and everything. He comes before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, well, I've heard that you can tell dreams. Joseph said, well, the interpretation of dreams belongs to God. Amen? First, he gives the glory to God right away. Say, it's not with me. But go ahead and tell your dream. And the Lord will tell you the interpretation. So he tells his dream. And Joseph said, yep. You know, the Lord has doubled this dream to you twice because of a certainty. He's showing you what will be done. There will be 7 years of plenty starting right now. And Joseph makes no isms about it. He just tells it the way it is. There will be 7 years of plenty. And there will be such an abundance overflowing in the land and so forth. You know, but then after that, there will be 7 years of hardship. That will be so hard that the years of plenty will be forgotten. And people will die by the numbers. And he said, but here's what you must do. You know, during those years of plenty and so forth, here's what you need to do. And then he begins to bring, you know, the word of wisdom. Begin to tell, you know, what to do and so forth like that. You know, they build cities, lay up all the excess and so forth, and gather up all these things and so forth, so that you have plenty for the years of lack. And Pharaoh looked at the boy and said, my goodness. But all the magicians and all the soothsayers, they couldn't tell the dream. Pharaoh tried and forced, they couldn't do it. You know, so he said, wow, the spirit of the gods is upon you. Where are we going to find a person that can do this, have this great wisdom? You know? And Pharaoh looked around. I think some of the magicians too far said, you know, all of them trying to, you know, audition. Pharaoh said, I don't know. I think this young man that gave the dream and the interpretation, he's going to be the man. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody! He's going to be the man! And Pharaoh said, I am Pharaoh! Bring my ring! Put the ring upon his finger! Right now, everybody, salute! Right there and then, Pharaoh proclaims Joseph as the ruler of the land. He made him vice regent. He said, only in the throne will I be greater than you. In everything else that's in the land, you will be in charge. The word of Joseph goes. Everybody, when you see Joseph coming, you fall down. He is the man. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, Joseph, he humbly accepts it, and the Lord begins to prosper him. And Joseph, by some incredible knowledge and wisdom and understanding, he saves the whole world. You know. And of course, you know how the story goes. Finally, his brethren and everything, they have to come to buy seed and so on and so forth. And they end up bowing down to him just like the dream said. Hallelujah! Just like the dream said. They tried to kill the dream. They tried to frustrate him and do everything. They even said, we will see what will become of your dream now. But the purpose of God and the counsel of God concerning your life shall stand. The enemy cannot alter your destiny. He can throw everything at you, including the kitchen sink. Amen. But I tell you what, folks, you know, the more he throws at you, the closer God is moving you towards your destiny. If you believe that, say hallelujah. Everything they threw at Joseph was only getting him closer to his destiny. The destiny of greatness that was upon him. And the angel of the Lord said concerning John the Baptist and even concerning Jesus, he said, he shall be great. Hallelujah. He shall be great and have greatness in the sight of the Lord. Folks, let me tell you something. You know, you all shall be great. But you all are great in the sight of the Lord already. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. And every time you have a child, folks, you need to say the same thing to the child. Say, you will be great. And you do great things for the Lord in life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Everything that the devil tried, he tried to destroy Joseph's dream. Now, there are some of you that have some dreams here tonight. I mean, this morning. The first thing that we learn, the lessons that we learn in this, is you must have a dream. Hello, folks. You must have a dream. And the dream could be the promise of God to you. Hallelujah. A place where we are going in spiritual things, like the image of Christ. Amen. That's where we're going. In natural or material things, that you may be above and not beneath. That's what he promised you. Amen. You got to have that dream. You know, and you must confess that dream. You must believe that God is able to bring it to pass. Hallelujah. And you must keep on believing and keep on being faithful to the Lord. No matter what the enemy throws at you, Joseph could have rebelled against God and said, Lord, I did nothing wrong. Why did you allow all these things to come to me? If you are a good God, you shouldn't allow them to throw me into jail. I'm not doing anything. I didn't do anything to my brothers. What have I done? Why all this evil? Joseph didn't grumble against the Lord. But he was faithful to the Lord. Even in the face of temptation, he was faithful. Hallelujah. The word of the Lord brought him low. That's right. It was the word of the Lord that tried him. The word of the Lord brought him low. He passed the test. And the word of the Lord exalted him. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. Now, here is the word of the Lord unto somebody here this morning. Your dream is alive. The enemy cannot kill your dream. The enemy cannot alter your destiny. God has proclaimed greatness in your life. And that's what you're going to be. Praise ye the name of the Lord. The Lord said, I have foreknown you even before you were in the womb. And I've ordained you what you are going to be. Even in spite of your own mistakes. Hallelujah, somebody. Are we condoning that you should go around making foolishness of your life? No. If you do foolishness, you will suffer. You will be the one that will suffer. But not the purpose of God. The purpose of God can never suffer. But you will suffer. Because if you are foolish, you will fall into a lot of hardships. You know, when you fall into the pit, and you cry unto the Lord, He will pull you out. But you could have avoided falling into the pit in the first place. Hallelujah. But fall into the pit or not, the purpose of God and the counsel of God in your life shall stand. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to close with this scripture. And this is for somebody here this morning. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. In the book of Romans chapter 9. I'm going to close with this and show you how that what God does. And how that he ordains this goodness and this greatness and these things in the lives of people. Is according to his mercy. It's not according to what you did or didn't do. Can I get an amen on that? In case you don't understand that, you know, let me read it to you here in the book of Romans, chapter 9. I'm going to start from verse 9. For this is the word of promise. Amen. At this time will I come and Sarah shall have a son. Well, you know, there's a lot of story behind that. I don't have time to go into it. But it's talking about the real children of God are not necessarily the children of the flesh. But they are the children of the promise. That's what he's talking about. Now, but Rebecca also, when she was pregnant by Isaac, you know, she had twins in her womb. Okay, Rebecca was, you know. But listen to verse 11. For the children being not yet born. Now, this woman was pregnant of twins. And the children had not yet been born. And the word of the Lord said to her, listen to this, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, in order that the purpose of God, according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Oh my. Every time I read this scripture, I want to cry. Because the purpose of God. See, I'm not on this stage today because, you know, I'm anything. But it is the purpose of God working in my life. This is what God ordained. And the enemy could not stop it. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It was said to her, the elder shall serve the younger. God crossed his hands, if you will. Wow. Why? Jacob, I have loved. Esau, I have hated. They have not even done anything. They've not done any evil. They've not done any good. You know, listen to this. As it is written, Jacob have I loved and Esau have hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Verse 14. God forbid. But here is the story. Here's what God said to Moses concerning Pharaoh. He said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion and on whom I will have compassion. And even he said concerning Pharaoh in verse 17, I will harden whoever I will harden. So Jesus, you know, does all these things. You know, he has mercy on whom he will have mercy. He has compassion on whom he will have compassion. And who he wants to harden, he hardens. So nobody can say unto him, what doest thou? Hallelujah. Listen to this in verse 18. Therefore have he mercy on whom he will have mercy. Hallelujah. And whomsoever he will, he hardens. And then he said, who is it that can reply against God and say, you know, why is God doing this and why is not God doing that and so forth? No. You know, shall the thing formed say to him that formed him, why hast thou made me thus? You can't do that. You know, God is the one that's doing all of these things. Now listen to this. You know, verse 16. This is the summary of it all. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it is of God that showeth mercy. Can I get amen in the house? The mercy of God is on your life. And that mercy will protect his purpose and his counsel in your life. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. In spite of your own foolishness, and in spite of the plans of the enemy to steal and to kill and to destroy your dreams, in spite of all of that, the mercy of God is with you. Amen. Amen. And God will protect and he will preserve his purpose and his counsel in your life. Amen. The enemy cannot alter your destiny. The enemy cannot alter that which God has proposed in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, but you, as an individual, you must align yourself with the purpose of God. Amen? Amen. How do you align? You see what God has said in the word concerning you. And you say with your mouth what the word of God says about you. Not what you think. And not what the enemy suggests. Jeremiah 29:11. My thought towards you, I know them. They are always for good and for peace and never for evil. Amen. Amen. That is the thought that God has towards you. Now, if there's anybody in the house this morning, the enemy has deceived you into believing that your dreams are dead. See? Because you've tried and you couldn't achieve and you are far behind where you should have been. Well, I got news for you folks. The enemy cannot alter your destiny. There may be delays, there may be road bumps, there may be potholes on the way, there may be whatever. But David said, by my God, I run through a troop. By my God, I leap over walls. I'm not going to let no obstacle hold me back. I am moving forward in Jesus' name. Now, if you are here this morning and you understand this message and you know, you now know that the enemy cannot alter your destiny, I want you to make a declaration of boldness, a bold declaration of faith here this morning, and align yourself with the word of God. Align yourself, even as a church, we need to align ourselves with the purpose of God. Hallelujah. We are on the road to righteousness. We are on the road to righteousness. And even the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. If you are here this morning, and you need me to stand with you in prayer, believing you, declaring that you understand that the purpose of God in your life cannot be thwarted by the devil, I want you in front of me now as we pray. I am going to believe the Lord with you. The enemy cannot alter your destiny. Hallelujah. Even you yourself, you cannot change it. But you must humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You must humble yourself. And you must be loyal to God. No matter what temptation comes your way, you must, whether your father is there, your mother is there, your brothers are there or not, you must stand and say, I cannot do this wickedness against the Lord. You must stand for the truth wherever you are. And I am going to do something here this morning that the Lord wanted me to do. Now, there are some dreams that indeed the enemy has pummeled. You know, even though he can't kill it, but he has pummeled those dreams. You know, and they are almost dead. But I tell you something, folks. Except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But after it dies, it shall spring forth again. Hallelujah, folks. Hallelujah. The Bible says, though, see, a tree be rotten and so forth, and be cut down and so forth, yet through the scent of water, it shall live again. Now this message is like the scent of water to you this morning, to let you know that the enemy cannot destroy your dream. You may be backward a little bit, but that's about it. But the Lord, He has a way to catapult you beyond what you even think. Amen, folks. There's nothing, all those years, Joseph might have still remained with his father and so forth, and he might have lost any of those 13 years or whatever, and he still would not have gotten into the place that he got if he hadn't gone through all the things that he got through. God sent him through all of that to preserve life. Praise the name of Jesus. Now throw up your hands this morning, and I am going to declare the word of God. Now, Lord Jesus, I thank you for thy word which we have spoken here this morning. And I know, Lord, that your people now understand. Folks, do you now understand? Do you understand? If you understand, say amen.
Amen.
Do you understand that the enemy cannot alter your destiny?
Yes.
The enemy cannot destroy your dreams.
Yes.
He can try, but he shall not prevail against you.
Yes.
And no matter what place you are right now, perhaps you are 1 year behind, 2 years behind, 3 years behind, 4 years behind, 5 years behind. God is going to catch up for you. Now, I pray that the Lord will make all grace to abound towards you. So that beginning from now, you will have always all sufficiency. Abounding unto all good works. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now the enemy shall no longer exact upon you.
Amen.
Father Lord, I thank you for your word. You said this is the purpose that is proposed upon the whole earth.
Yes.
That I will destroy the Assyrian from my land. I will trample him down and break his yoke off of their shoulders. Father Lord, break the yoke of the Assyrian off the shoulders of your people.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to do something for you here this morning. I am going to anoint your hands with oil. And, I want you to believe God. Amen, folks?
Amen.
Lean not to your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Don't worry about how God's going to do it. Just believe His word. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, as I anoint your hands with oil this morning, I want you to believe that there is a change that is coming to your life. Amen. The thing that has, the enemy has tried to destroy, steal, or kill from you, the Lord is restoring. Amen. Amen, folks. You don't sound very confident. I said, the Lord is restoring. Amen. I don't just make up these messages. The Lord gives them to me for a purpose and a reason. Now, I want you to come one by one and stretch your hands out. And let's anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. Come closer, folks. I'm going to put this oil in your hands. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Come closer. Praise the Lord Jesus. Come closer. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now there is something that this anointing is going to do in your lives. It is the anointing that breaks the yoke. Hallelujah. The anointing breaks the yoke of backwardness and puts you on track. On track for your destiny in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The anointing of God breaks the yoke. The anointing breaks the yoke. The enemy, he cannot alter your destiny. He cannot destroy your destiny. He cannot. The Lord is going to preserve his purpose in your life. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Put your hand out, sir. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The enemy cannot alter that which the Lord has for you. The Lord said, that which is gone out of my mouth, I will not alter. But I will perform. That which I have spoken, I will also perform, he said the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord anoint you for greatness in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Every one of you, the Lord anoint you for greatness. The Lord anoint you for greatness in the name of the Lord Jesus. You will not be backward in life. Hallelujah. You will be above. Above only. And never beneath in Jesus' name. Above only in the name of the Lord Jesus. Above only and never beneath. Hallelujah. Above only and never beneath. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah.